God is really doing great things, and I'm so thankful for everyone on here. You know, everyone is doing so great. Wherever you're at, whatever's going on, you know, God is actually working, and he's got the master plan for your life, you know, and he knows exactly what he's doing, and we just got to trust this, you know. In Proverbs, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. You know, we've all got reasonings. We've all got different things and thoughts of how we think God's going to do things. But God really wants us to trust him in being led by him, that he's going to lead us beside the still waters. He's going to restore our soul. He's going to guide our path in righteousness for his name's sake. And goodness and mercy is, you know, pursuing us all the days of our life. And he prepares a table for us in the presence of our enemies. You know, God would always promote us, even in the presence of our enemies. He'll always make us the head, for he's got a name to uphold. And when we're looking to uphold what God is showing us, even when we make mistakes which people can jump on, you know, God will always make us come up smelling of roses. And he's working perfectly in all of our situations, whatever area that is. Like with Becky, with her wedding, you know, she had concerns. She wasn't worried, she had concerns. But she went to God. She took the burden to God, you know. She got encouragement, and then she went to the Father. And this is our job as believers, as leaders, as ministers, that when people come to us, we speak the heavenly words, and then they need to go to God. We direct people to God. And this is how things take off quickly. So Becky come back with that wonderful testimony. And it really thrilled me. I was so excited. I was like, yes, God, this is so great that what you've given us to speak and what we teach about faith and confession, it works, that God is not a liar. No, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. What he's written, what he's said, and what he's going to say will happen. It will come to pass because God is faithful. And we just have to remember that he's faithful. We may not be. We may endeavor to be, but he's always faithful. And then he perfects those things concerning us as we get focus, as we stay humble, as we stay meek, as we stay moving forward. So this Zoom fellowship still blows me away. You know, because I know in myself I can arrange all this and make it all happen or connect anyone. There's just no way. So God has got a plan and he's got a purpose for every individual and for all of us collectively together. All we got to do is just be still and listen to what God is showing. Follow the direction, you know, follow the encouragement, follow and execute what he puts in your heart to do. Because he's directing your steps. I'm not directing your steps. He's directing your steps. But faith comes by hearing. So God gives us words to deliver to people to build their faith and expectation. And God has raised our levels of faith. You know, through the years, our levels of faith have come up and up and up. And we see great things come on, even through challenges, even through situations that are uncomfortable or we may not like. God is always the deliverer. He always makes a way where there seems no way. And so we just stay trusting in him. And so faith is released through our action, as Kathy was sharing. You know, we take action upon what we are given. Because we can, you know, we can remember what's being said. And it's so easy for us just to repeat those words. You know, we can practice them and just repeat them. But if we're not putting them into action as God's navigating us, then we don't see the fruit. And God wants us to have much fruit. He wants us to manifest his power. That's why he's given it to us. He wants us to use the spiritual ability. And we have the carnal and we have the spiritual. And so the cards in life that we were dealt with from the devil was a bad hand. And some people can play that bad hand in a good way for their benefit, but it doesn't bring any glory to God, and it doesn't bring long-term benefit. But God has given us the best hand. God has given us the winning hand. We have the winning hand. Now, it all depends how we play the cards. And we can play those cards perfectly when we listen to God. He'll show us what card to use, what card to hold back, when to use it, so that we can win every hand in a situation. And God gives these analogies to know, enlighten the truth to us of his word. You know, Jesus Christ said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly, superior in quality and quantity. If you look up that word, in every area, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, relationships, in ministering, in finances, in our giving and our receiving of good words and what we're doing. You know, we can live superior life because we got the superior thing. We got the gift of Holy Spirit. God is our Father. Jesus Christ is our Lord. And we're seated at the right-hand side of God in the heavenly places. And even when we're touched with the force of this world, we can feel the pressure. That's all it is pressure. And I think the scriptures call it trouble, terrasso. You know, to stir up emotions, to, you know, to get your mind divided, get it distracted. And so that's why we watch what we're doing. You know, we watch what we listen to, what we hear. We watch our circle. We watch even where we fellowship with. You know, we don't want to hang around the stagnant pools of tradition and religion. But we want to be connected and moving and drinking from the fountains of living water, God. You know, we don't want to do our own thing, that when we need power, it's not there because we've done it our way. Like in Jeremiah 2:13, it says, my people. He wasn't talking about the world. He was talking about his wonderful people because they're wonderful because they're God's kids, right? But they committed to me because they forsaken me, the fountain of living water. And number two, they hew out their own systems, their own philosophies, their own ideas about what God says and then do it their own way. And we see in the scriptures, there's just so many records of when people haven't listened and they've done their own thing and they paid the price. And God doesn't want to do that. Thank God we got the grace. God knew we needed his grace. He knew he needed to continually take care and cover everything. So thank God for our Lord Jesus Christ and his sacrifice and that he listened to God. He was the only one that was perfect ever, that was ever and that will ever be. And now we've got the Spirit of God, so in that Spirit we're perfect. We are as he is. And so when we guide our mind to listen to those words, and we meditate upon those things, we ask God for direction. We ask God to illuminate our minds in the areas that we need to have it illuminated. In the meantime, we're practicing what we've received, and we're looking for results. We need to expect results. And like I said on the leaders' meeting, God is the creator of the heaven and the earth, and nothing is impossible with him. Can he not give you one laborer that's equal to a billion this year? Have we really expected it? Have we gone through the motions of just praying for a laborer and then got discouraged when nothing comes? Have we sown our seed and then got discouraged because we didn't really expect something in return? Because God wants us to have expectation. That's why he gives us that act of faith to do. So I'm expecting this fellowship to multiply, to really multiply that. And I'm praying for myself and you that God will give you that one key labor so you can see what it's like to have that one labor that is going to receive the words gladly and that they're going to go and do and practice. Because there's so many different things we can give people. There's so many fellowships we can go on and listen to. But God has called you here for a specific purpose. He wants you to rise up. He wants you to receive these words. He wants you to practice the things that you've been encouraged. And then he'll perfect it in you. Then you'll start to understand. The clear understanding comes as we practice and do, not before. We receive the words, and then we go and do, and then we get enlightened to it. So God is the one that enlightens our eyes. I can't enlighten your eyes. I can say something that will light your eyes up. But as you do it, you get the full understanding of why you're doing what you're doing and why God wants you to do it. So the connections are very important, as we know. I always mention the connections. Very important for me, but it's very important for you too. And it's a two-way flow whereby I get great encouragement when I hear what God's doing in your life and the things that God's showing you. And then obviously you get encouraged as God's working in me to maybe respond, answer questions, or just share what God's doing in my life and what he's working. So we can keep in that perfect peace with God, even when the storms are raging, even when the winds are blowing, we don't pay attention to it. We may feel the wind on our face. We may see things move, but we stay steadfast with God. We just continue and keep doing what we've been doing. And God is arranging so many great things. And when we stay with him, we're not messing the plan up. We're not getting in his way. I kind of, what's coming to my mind, I don't know why, but I'll begin that. And that is King Saul. And, you know, God made King Saul of Israel. The people wanted him. He was a good-looking guy, tall, strong. And Samuel told him, you know, once you've had this fight, I don't, you know, kill everything. Don't keep anything. You got given specific instructions. But he didn't follow it out perfectly. He got the victory, but he kept back the sheep. And then he made sacrifice to God, which wasn't his place to do. That was Samuel's. And then Samuel come along and he said, I thought I told you to kill everything, get rid of everything. And he said, well, I did. He said, what's this bleeping in my ears? You know, you didn't listen. And because you didn't listen, the kingdom's taken away from you. And so the kingdom was taken away from him because he didn't listen. And this is the whole important thing. We got to listen. Not that anything's going to be taken away from us, but the blessings and the results can be. And because he didn't listen, then God went after a man, after his own heart, a man that wasn't perfect, but had a heart for God. His heart was a heart after God. And so God could do so much when someone's heart is after him, that they're going to God. What do you want me to do in my life? What is it you want me to do? Not what I want to do, but what do you want me to do? I'm willing to follow what you want me to do. I'm willing to execute these things, Father. Because I know I've only got one life here. And I want to maximize everything that you've got for me. I've wasted many years, but now you've got me to the point of recognizing who you are. And now I want to maximize my time with you and be very fruitful, that you can really say, this is my son, in whom I'm well pleased. This is my daughter. Because God doesn't want sacrifice. He wants obedience, right? You can sacrifice loads of things. He wants your obedient heart to listen to his voice. He wants that sweet relationship with you. And he wants you to be fruitful. He wants you to be productive. And only he can make you fruitful and productive from the encouragement and direction he gives you to do. So when Paul listened to God, when God gave him a dream, told him to go to Macedonia, then what happened? He had great outreach. There was times he wasn't getting the great outreach, but when he was led by God, and he'd done exactly what God showed him to do, he was obedient to the heavenly voice and the direction and the dream. And as God spoke to him, then he hit the jackpot areas. When he didn't listen, he went to Jerusalem. God said, don't go. He got banned. He hindered the purposes of God in his own life. God was still working with him, but God couldn't do the things that he really wanted to do. When Jesus ministered to, was it the leper? He said, you know, go and show yourself, or just keep this to yourself. Don't tell everyone. Or was it the blind man? I'm not too sure which one. But he said, don't tell anyone, you know. And what did the guy do? I think it was the blind guy. And he went and told, look, you know, I've been healed. And then so everyone wanted to find out where Jesus was, you know, so it hindered him. So we need to listen to these little things, the still small voice. And when we start listening and practicing, we need a humble heart to listen. Because obviously we got our carnal mind that tries to play a part. But we got to reckon it dead. And so we take everything to God, like in the one-on-ones I do with people. After I shared, and I know God's working, and I know God's giving, I know when he's working and energizing. I say, now you need to take this to God and ask him if what I said is right. Now, initially we know, because we got the Spirit of God, so we can discern, yeah, this is right. But there might be stuff that hit your head, and it don't seem right, don't compute. That's when you take it to God. And that's how I, you know, for me, for my walk, that's how I've kind of moved with God. When I knew there was all these different doctrines and there was people from the same background that could rightly divide the scriptures, make them all sound beautiful, but they never agreed on anything. And that just highlighted that something was wrong with this picture. How could people that come from the same background and then go to the scriptures. And they're, you know, they know how the methods of doing it and how to write and fight, what books to use to kind of look at the history and try and put it all together. And then some were better than others at it. You know, but God's not a respecter of persons. So it showed me it was an educational thing. And it could become our own effort in it. But when God shows us the truth. And so we have to be very clear. Again, I want to bring this up because it's important. We have to be very clear that what is the sound doctrine? The sound doctrine are the words that proceed and out of the mouth of God and God's working in you. That's what we speak. That's what we move by. That's the word that is quick and powerful and sharp. It's living energy. It's a living word. The scriptures are the writings of God. What man spoke by the Spirit before? Holy man of God spake as they what? Were moved by the Holy Spirit. And God's still moving people, working in people by the Spirit of God in today's time, where we live, right on the needs. And what we speak will agree and show up in the scriptures. I've seen this. God showed me. You know, when I've gone to the scriptures after practicing, speaking by the Spirit, then God shows, see, Lawrence, this is what you've been speaking. And it agrees. You can understand this record more than you've ever done. And you didn't rightly divide anything. You didn't pick up any Hebrew book or any Greek book. So we need to be very clear. If we're going to move forward and we're going to see this great growth from what we're praying and desiring, we need to understand that God will lead you and give you the words. That doesn't mean to say you neglect the scripture. If God puts it in your heart to go to him, you go to him. I go to him. But I'm led by God. I got a relationship with God. He's the living God. You know, it's like I got a book called Pardon, What Did You Say? Watch What Comes Out of Your Mouth. Now, you may think, well, I know this, Lawrence, because he's written his heart down here, blah, blah, blah. You haven't got a relationship with me. You just got a knowledge of what I've written in a book. But what about me? I might have changed since then. I might have some more inflections and ideas and corrections in those things. So it's through the relationship that you understand, right? And so God wants to really show you great and mighty things which you know not. He wants you to go to him with a great expectation and great faith, and he wants you to expect big. Really expect big. What's the biggest thing that you could really want from God, but you may think it's a bit of a big ask? God is the creator of the heavens and the universe. He set every detail up. The books and the audios that I saw, or the audio I sent out on quantum faith. You know, you can see all the detail that God has set up and how things work. And those principles will never change. And we got a part in that. We can affect the matter in our life through the words we speak. Everything is made of atoms, subatomical particles, and all these things. Quarks. And we can be at two places at one time. Here, and see it at the right-hand side of God. But we're navigated from here, the right-hand side of God. Or we're navigated from the carnal. We're navigated from knowledge, man's wisdom. Or are we navigated by God's Spirit and his wisdom? And so when we're navigated that way, then great things can happen. So God wants you to speak. Give your voice to God. I will practice this way. This is what I've done when I come back from India. And I shared a little bit. When I come back from India, Sangit would send me a few messages. Now, Lawrence, if you practice this way and do these things, you will see God go to work mightily. Now, I could have thought, who are you to tell me? I've taken the PFL and advanced class and all these things. But I humbly received those words because I wasn't seeing results and I wanted to see results. And I knew he was getting results. And not just him, but all his leaders all over the place, all over India and all over Nepal. So I focused on him. And then when I come back, I started to speak. I started to trust God to give me words. I would pray, Father, give me the words to say. And I wouldn't have a clue what I was going to say. And it's been the same ever since. And then God just energizes. He directs it, just like in the one-on-ones, just like when you're out witnessing. So God wants to work with you like he did with Jesus, like he did with the Apostle Paul. He gives you what to say in the time you need to say it. And that is where the signs, miracles, and wonders are generated, when people receive what you're saying. Also, we all have a desire to go out and share and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We've all been taught, you got to go, you know. No, be led by God in those situations. If God wants you to go, nothing wrong going and practicing if you want. I've done it, right, and it doesn't yield anything. For many years, Danny will vouch for this. We would meet up in Staple Hill, which is an area just up the road, in the cafeteria with the youth. And let's go witness it. Let's witness in the cafe. Let's minister. And we've seen healings and stuff like that. But no one ever came. Because we went. And like I shared with Jason, like, you know, let people come to you for ministry. If they want the ministry, they have a desire to be healed. If someone wants to understand about God and the Lord Jesus Christ, they have the desire. Now, God can bring them to you. God can put you in front of them. But God is the one that opens up the door. So when we see someone that might need healing, unless God is energizing, you'd have to make it available. Or you can do if the door opens to speak. But let people come to you. This is, Jesus walked past many people. Many, many people that didn't get healed, and there was many people that did. Because he was led by God, and all of it was glory, to bring glory and recognition to God, that God is a God of love, and that God has put his man in the earth, and now God has put many men and women in the earth that he's put his spirit within, and now he wants us to walk like the Lord Jesus Christ. So we've got to be navigated by God. We've got to learn to be obedient to what God is showing in our hearts to do, from the right words that you've been receiving to do. So Jesus worked with the disciples. He sent them out a couple of times, and he was showing them. And then he was directing them to go to God. He was directing them to pray to God. And so God is with you. But there is a discipline. This is a discipline walk. And it's not like a religious discipline. You've got to do this. You've got to be up, you know, got to be up before 7, in bed before 12. No, it's discipline to train your ears to hear the voice of God. Is to train your ears that when you come on here, you're going to receive the heavenly words. And you're going to take it on. And that you're going to do it is between you and God. You've been, I've given you the words. I just put the sharing up from the leaders meeting. The others will go up. And it's called God's desire for you is to prosper and be in health. And it really is. I would encourage you to go and listen to it. And when God shows you to put the rest of the sharings up, I will. But listen to that one. And then receive those words. And then ask God to show you where you don't understand or where you might not agree. Come and ask questions. See, a laborer will come and ask questions. If they're not sure, they'll come and ask you. If they don't agree, they'll come and ask you. If they've got a problem, they'll come and speak to you. And if that man or woman is walking with God, then they would listen. And they will answer accordingly as God is energizing. And if there's something that man or woman needs to change as a minister, and something's been highlighted, they can change it. That's who calls humility. Because he hasn't got his own agenda, but he's got God's agenda, and we've missed something. We don't want to miss out, right? So like with King Saul, he had his own agenda. He didn't listen. He lost the kingdom. So God then went through the process and gave him David. David made many mistakes, didn't he? But God said, he's a man after my own heart. God blessed him, gave him a son, Solomon. And so God has a plan, and he's got a perfect plan for your life. And he's saying, now it's stop time to being self-willed. Stop time to being stubborn like a mule. But to open up your heart and surrender to him. Okay, God, I haven't seen nothing from the way I've been doing it and how I believe. I haven't seen much. I've seen some, but not much. I haven't seen this explosion of growth. Okay, here I am. Send me, teach me. I'm coachable. I'm ready to change whatever needs to be changed. Because I don't want traditions of man. I don't want to do things with my own heart. But I want to be led by you. And this is why God showed me, like, you know, when I come back from Nepal, Lawrence, just relax. Don't chase anyone. Don't do anything in your own strength. Let them come. If they don't come, they don't come. If they don't want to honor God, they don't honor God. Because God is the source of my supply. He's the source of my supply for laborers. He's the source of my supply for my health. He's the source of supply for my finances. I'm looking to God. I'm not looking at any of you for that. Right? But the ones that will do will practice this honoring God. Some of you need to start doing it. Honestly, for your blessing. Oh, you're going to benefit. No, you're going to benefit from it. When you honor God, you benefit from it. And like I shared in my sharing, give the best. God's given the best, and when you give the best, you'll get the best back even bigger. This is true. This is not a gimmick for you to raise your abundant sharing. You can think that way. That's the carnal thought. I used to think that way, if I'm honest, I did. Oh, another gimmick. I used to have bad attitude because I didn't understand. But now, through the practice, through the humility, God got me humble, and then I was willing, I had the willing heart to, okay, let me try these things. If it works for Sangha and the Indian believers and the Nepali, it's got to work for me if I'm doing it with the heart. And I'm listening with intent to do that. I'm not just listening with a purpose. I'm doing with a purpose. Like, you know, we took the classes and they used to have these questions, listening with a purpose. So don't even listen with a purpose. Do with a purpose to get the results. The quick way. God's got the quick way. His way is quick. It's quick and powerful. His word is quick and powerful. The word of Jehovah runs very swiftly. And if there's areas that you're struggling with, you just submit them to God. Give me the direction for this area, God. Give me the word for this area, and I will do exactly what I need to do so I can come out of this darkness or this hindrance or this hold up. And the people that are listening are getting through. This is why there should be many testimonies when we come onto this fellowship, you know. God wants to really bless you and show you his power. He said, give me something hard to do, kids. You know, believe me. Give me something hard to do. Let me show off my love and my mercy and my grace and my power and my deliverance. And signs, miracles, and wonders are the calling card that wakes up the world, baby. It really does. And people, there's many people that are sat in darkness and shadow of death. And a lot of them are laborers. And so now God is looking for his men and women that will be humble for a change and really focus on him and really not do their own thing, not move by a pattern or a way that they've been instructed to do before, but to be instructed by God. And he will instruct your heart how to move so that you can have jackpot. There's many wonderful believers all over the world, and I've met many of them. By the grace of God, look at the doors that God's opened up for me to teach me and to help me see. And there's many people still stuck, still in the old tradition, still not getting much. They might have new people come, but those new people are probably old people from a different area and they've moved location. New fruit, new people, new laborers. And the abundance comes through the laborers. That's where the abundance comes from. God will work because we're sharing and showing people, look, if you want to prosper, you want a God. They start doing it, they prosper. And then people give. He doesn't decrease you. He really doesn't. And so if that's the case for you, then you need to reconsider what you're thinking and what you're practicing. And God ain't no respecter of persons on these principles. So that's another thing we have to consider. You know, God ain't going to do special favors for you and not me. He's given us a set of things to follow, to practice, to do, which is going to yield great result for the kingdom of God, for the glory of God, and for our blessing. And all we got to do is begin to practice them. So I'm really seeing this, like, you know, when I come back from India in May, I really began to practice and I started to share. Now I'm seeing a lot more things that I'm learning, and I'm now sharing these things, which is adding to what's already been shared. But I can't make you do nothing. I really can't. I'm not even going to try and make you do nothing. If you are hungry and you're desiring, you want to be fruitful, you want to be prosperous, then follow this encouragement. Sandgate shared it wonderfully. The Indian and the Nepalese shared it wonderfully. I had a lovely video from a believer from Nepal. He's 22, 23. His brother's around about the same age. And very humble. Oh, what beautiful people. His name is Anish and he's married. And he sent me a picture of these two shops. One was a barber's and one was a cafeteria. And it was brand new. It'd be anything like we have in the West and better. And it was their shops. Because God had prospered them so much that they was able to go into this venture of having their own shop. And having their own barber shop and having their own cafeteria. See, God is the one that wants us to prosper. We need to prosper. We need to have these things. We need to have the laborers. you know, and just seeing the joy, like Fan was mentioning joy. My God, the joy and rejoicing over there. These guys are just dancing. Sangit's dancing, Beatrice, even I got up dancing. I can't dance properly. But I had a go because the joy of the Lord is your strength also. So we don't have to be going through the doldrums every other week or every other month or every other fellowship, but we should be coming on it with anticipation of sharing what God's done, that what you shared, I done it, I went to God and I practiced it with God, and yes, it works. This is what we need to be sharing, the right words, the right encouragement. And so it's through this that we will see the things happen, you know, and staying faithful, staying connected with God first and foremost. And then as God works in you to connect, you connect and then receive those words gladly, you know, and God will do the rest. It's that simple. The more I'm doing this, the more simple it is. But, and really consider these words.